It's wonderful to be back at Ambassador Baptist College. I'll tell you, it is a privilege to come to this school. I remember when we came during spring break and the students were all gone. Hey, Brother Dave, good to see you down there. Looking at all these faces and seeing a bunch of people that I went to school with and everything. And Dr. Comfort was the only one here. And I remember he took us around the school and he said, Matt, he said, this place is not for everybody, but if it's God's will for you to come to Ambassador Baptist Church or Ambassador Baptist College, church, amen. It's not a church, praise the Lord, it's a Bible college. He said, we want you to come, but if it's not God's will for you to come here, then we don't want you to come. And I appreciated his openness, and he took us around for a tour, and God brought us here. And when I came to Ambassador Baptist College, I was like this. I'll tell you, folks, I was out of balance as a Christian, just a young Christian, willing to learn, and I thank God for all of our Bible professors who poured their lives into our family and gave us a good philosophy of the ministry. And I'll tell you, get everything which you can get here at Ambassador Baptist College. And then how many mission majors do we have here? Can I see your hands? Well, praise the Lord. Not everyone's called to be a foreign missionary, but you should struggle with the possibility. I'll tell you, folks, the 1040 window, 40% of the world's population is in that part of the world that we're serving in Okinawa, Japan. There's 127 million souls in Japan. Think of Indonesia, and you have China, you got a billion in India, and you think about that whole part of the world. And did some research recently about what percentage of the world actually speaks English, and they say about 9%. 9% of the world speaks English, and you think about 95% of the Baptist preachers, where they're at. They're right here in the United States of America, and there's a great need. If you have your Bibles, which of course you have your Bibles here at Bible College, turn to the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 10. It is good being here. We have been back for 2 months. We believe in shorter furloughs. We're going to come back every two years for 3 months. We're reporting by region. We're doing Northeast, Southeast, and Mid-Atlantic. And we've been in 18 churches. We have 7 more meetings. And on October 13th, we go home. Looking forward to getting back to Japan. The kids miss it. We miss it. And want to serve there. We got Brother Frank Musk and Judy Musk, friends of the Cummins. We were talking to Brother Cummins last night, and he was telling me how they were friends back in their college years, and they're working at our ministry there at Kishikawa Baptist Church there in Okinawa, Japan, as short-term furlough missionaries. Now, I want you to think of the word Japan and just think of Just a Prayer at Night is the acronym. It's not original. It's from another missionary, but think when you're waking up in the morning or when you're going to sleep in the morning, we're waking up. We're plus 13 hours, Eastern Standard Time there in Okinawa. And if you're ever in the area, you got a weekend, you know, free, why don't you come on and see us? In Japanese, they would say something like this, Jikan gatara dozo kite kudasai, which means if you have time, you know, please come and visit us there in Okinawa, Japan. Brother Smith has been there. He's preached at the military church. As Dr. Comfort was sharing with me before chapel, it's his desire to come back to Okinawa and to preach the Word of God there in Japan. And a wonderful opportunity. You have your Bibles. Mark chapter 10, verse 43 through 45 is our text this morning. I'm going to preach a message. The greatest desire. The greatest desire is the name of the message this morning. Verse 43 through 45, the Bible says, But so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever you will be the chiefest shall be the servant of all. Verse 45, For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, dear God, for the reading of Your Word. I pray, God, that the Holy Spirit of God will take over this service and everything that is said and done would bring honor and glory to You. And may we leave chapel this morning changed. And we'll thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. In a modest little graveyard in Connecticut, Fanny Crosby is buried with a small gravestone on it are the words, she had done what she could. Now, folks, I want to ask you that question. Are we as independent, premillennial, Bible-believing, Baptist Christians doing everything that we can for the Lord Jesus Christ? In verse 45 is the key verse in this Gospel of Mark, of course, portrays Jesus Christ as the servant, more or less. He's our example. He's the great servant for us. And it says, For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. Jesus Christ is our supreme example. The Lord Jesus Christ used gracious words when He talked to people. The Lord Jesus Christ met people where they were, where they are. And sometimes in fundamentalism as Christians, sometimes we walk around and we think we are so holy and everybody else is so sinful. Folks, we are just sinners saved by the grace of God. Now, Jesus Christ, He came as God's ultimate servant. He is the greatest example for you and me this morning. The Lord Jesus Christ is the spotless Lamb of God, the Savior of the world. Now, this morning I have 3 points in this message. Number one, we're going to look at the desire to serve the Savior. Secondly, we're going to look at the desire to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. And lastly, we're going to look at the desire to seek the lost. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, "For I am determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." We as Christians this morning must have a servant's heart if we're going to continue to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't have a servant's heart here at Ambassador Baptist College, you will burn out, you will quit on God, and you will not make it, folks. This is where it starts, right here. There are opportunities in every local church in this area to serve. I would say take your talent, your time, and your treasure. I'm not saying working in so many ministries where you're burned out. I'm talking about serving in that local church. Many times people would go and they would say, "Preacher, feed me, feed me, feed me, feed me." And you know, folks, it's good to be fed, but sometimes we need to give. We need to serve. We need to give our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to serve the Savior. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Now, I believe a believer's life should be dominated by the pattern of heaven, bringing heavenly direction to earthly duties. That reminds me of a little girl who was at dusk, and she was sitting at a graveyard. And this young girl wanted to go through this grave, and there was an old man who sat at the gate and said to her, "Young lady, are you afraid to go through the cemetery at dark?" And she said, "Oh, no, sir. Oh, no." She said, "My home is just on the other side." And you know, folks, as we look at this world, it's not getting any better. If you watch CNN and Fox News and all that stuff, this world is getting worse and worse, and the Bible says it's going to wax worse and worse. And everything that happens ought not to surprise us. Because this world is not our own. I mean, we're just passing through. One day, we're going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven for eternity. Now, I believe there's two ways that we can have a desire to serve the Savior. Number one, we need to serve through sacrifice. C.T. Studd said, "If Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then there is no sacrifice. No sacrifice can be too great for me to make for Him." Think about that. How many of us are really sacrificing? I'll tell you, if you're here and God has called you into the ministry, God's going to take care of your bill. God's going to take care of your needs. Maybe not all your wants, but God will take care of it. We watch God over and over and over again take care of our needs. And we really were amazed about God's faithfulness when we were at Ambassador Baptist College. Now, Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, secondly, we can serve through sufferings. The Bible says that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings being made conformable unto His death. 1 Peter 4, verse 16, "Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." Do we glorify God when we're suffering? God says you're sick. God says you have cancer. Maybe somebody dies in your family. Do we really glorify God when we suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ? I don't believe really we're suffering too much. Sometimes we suffer. But we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, who are called according to His purpose. So our first point, again, is we need to serve the Savior. We have to have a desire to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. A desire to serve Him. I want to encourage you, serve God with the right motive. You know, there was a time early in my Christian life, I was in a church working in 14 ministries at one time and almost lost my wife over Dr. Childs. And it was all about building this work, and it wasn't about serving God with the right motive. If God has given you that talent, young people, I'll tell you, take that talent and use it for the honor and glory of God in that local church that you're serving. It'll change your life. The motive must be important. Secondly, this morning, this is where I want to spend most of my time, is we need to have a desire to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things are becoming new. Actually, that's what it means there. And what God is saying is that we need to be sensitive, so sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God, because the Holy Spirit of God lives inside us. He indwells the believer. He lives inside us. We can grieve the Spirit of God. We can quench the Spirit of God. Maybe the places we go or the things we see or the things we listen to, we can actually grieve the Spirit of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4, the Bible says, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words as man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of Spirit and of power. We need to be sensitive through the power of the Spirit. Luke 18, 1, and Jesus spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always pray and not faint. You know, D.L. Moody said, you might as well try to hear without ears, breathe without lungs, as try to live a life with the Spirit of God in your, or live a life without the Spirit of God in your heart. Think about that. George Whitefield, who his ministry was probably about 30 years, he preached over 18,000 sermons, and he didn't need a mic. In Philadelphia, when he would preach, and sometimes they can hear him over a quarter mile away. He had a very, very deep voice, and he could preach the Word of God. He could proclaim the Word of God. Whitfield said the Holy Spirit was the least known, least loved, and least worshipped member of the Trinity. The early church had none of these things we think that are so essential today. They did not have buildings, nor money, nor political influence, nor social status. Yet, the church won multitudes to the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? The church had the power of God, and the power of God energized its ministry. And the question this morning is, are you controlled and filled with the Spirit of God? If not, then God cannot use you unless you have the power of God on your life. When people see your life at work, at home, at church, do you have the power of God on your life? You can be a girl, a guy, you need to be filled or controlled by the Spirit of God. But we need to be sensitive through the prayer of the saints. Let me ask you a question. Has God ever woken you up in the middle of the night? Dr. Comfort? Of course. Brother Joy? Of course. As we go and we're serving and all of a sudden God will wake you up in the middle of the night. And you can't get back to sleep and you're like, and God puts a missionary on your heart, puts a family on your heart, puts a ministry on your heart, puts an unsaved family member on your heart, and you cannot go back to sleep. It's the Spirit of God that's working in your heart. Many times as preachers, God would give you something in the middle of the night. That's why you should have a piece of paper and a pen next to your bed where you sleep. Sometimes it's a thought and you may just need to jot that down and go back to sleep and then come back to it or something like that. But God will wake us up in the night. You know, the Bible says in Colossians chapter 4, verse 3, with all praying also for us, here's Paul saying that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. We need prayer as missionaries. In Japan, we talk about Buddhism and Shintoism and Confucianism and ancestor worship in Okinawa. That means their dead ancestors. What they do is when they die in Japan, they cremate them. And then they worship them. They put them in the family grave and they come and they bow down and they worship their dead ancestors. Folks, that's idolatry. And as we lift up the Lord Jesus Christ in Japan, they can't take Jesus Christ, Brother Spencer, and put Him on their shelf of gods and say that we're going to add Christ to our gods, and if all this doesn't get us to heaven, then we're going to take Jesus. It's Jesus and Him alone, and they got to forsake all the idolatry. Our job as Christians is to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the Holy Spirit of God will draw sinners onto God Himself. Now the question is, are we doing our job? Are we lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ? We're not trying to reach people here in the United States of America. Don't go across the seas of the oceans and try to reach people over there. Martin Luther said, I have so much time today that I must set more time to pray. I believe Satan trembles when he sees the weakest Christian on his or her knees. Little prayer, little power. Much prayer, much power. The question this morning is, how was our prayer life this morning? You know, we have all these time-saving devices today. What are those things called? Those blueberries? Blackberries. Oranges? Strawberries. What are they called? Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. And all these, and that's great. We have all these computers, Dr. Childs, and all these things supposed to make time. But you know what, folks? How much time do we really pray? Really? I understand. Married men, let me see your hand right here. If you're married here and you're serving the Lord, amen. Okay. I totally understand where you're at. I understand. 60 hours a week at Copeland, working, coming here, going to church, serving the Lord, it's tiring sometimes. It really is. But never forsake your family. I want to encourage you, married men. God ordained the family before He ordained the church. And God wants you to love your family and make time for your family. I want to encourage you, as a married student here, make time for your family. Sometimes you have to say no to certain ministry things. The family comes first. That's a sideline right there. Your prayer is vital to your missionaries, and they and we are counting on your prayer. So the question is, if you need to pray more this morning, why don't you make that commitment before God? Now, I said before that prayerlessness is the great sin of the church. If we don't pray, we will faint. Luke 18:1, again, it says, And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. That word faint has the idea of a believer who loses heart and gets so discouraged that he or she wants to quit. Have you ever wanted to quit since you've been here? Freshman, first week, second week in? You want to go home? You don't want to eat? You're homesick? You want to quit? Things get hard? Your bill's not paid? And you say, Lord, is it worth it all? Let me tell you something. It's worth it all. If God has called you into the ministry, He will provide. Jehovah Jireh. He will provide. But thirdly, we need to have a desire to seek the lost. A desire to seek the lost. And how can we do this? We can have a desire to seek the lost through soul winning. Mark 8:36, For what shall profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Luke 19:10, For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. 2 Corinthians 4:3, If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. You know, the Bible says that the gospel has power according to Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. What is that actually saying? That word power is where we get the word dynamite from. Brother Camp, I'll tell you, that gospel breaks down Buddhism and Shintoism and Confucianism and ancestor worship. And as we lift up the Lord Jesus Christ, we have seen changed lives in Okinawa, Japan. I think of Moriyama-san. She was a young mother, about 35 years old, and one of our ladies, her name is Reiko Shimabukuro. She has a Christian daycare. It's called Burunoki, which is the vine. And they have a theme verse in Japanese. It's Yohane Jugosho. It's John 15:1, and they have that there. And Moriyama-san worked for her, and then she got saved, and she trusted Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior, and she started coming to church, and then we baptized her, and she's growing. But she's discouraged right now because her father-in-law just tried to commit suicide, and he cut both his wrists and both his ankles and tried to take his life. And may I say, in Japan, teenagers have the highest suicide rate in the world. Why? Because they lift up education as their God. They go to school probably 230, 240 days a year. Their summer vacation is only a month. They have homework during the summer. And they go to school from 8 o'clock in the morning to probably about 8 o'clock at night. And they go to school all the time. And then these kids, their parents want them to get in the best schools in Tokyo. And they work hard. And they study hard. And if they fail the test, they feel like they fail their parents. And they say, what's the purpose to live? And that's where we as a church planner or missionaries come in. We say, I'll tell you, there's a purpose. And Jesus Christ loves you. You know, folks, that's the whole purpose of being there. Those teenagers need the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to flip over to Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Very familiar portion of Scripture. And he said unto them, go ye to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I want to kind of dissect this verse for the rest of the message this morning. Let's look at the verse, first word there after he said, and he said unto them, number one, go. And this is, we need to seek the lost in six ways. And here we go. Number one, go is the plan of God. Luke 24:47, the Bible says, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at what? Jerusalem. Right here, folks. If you're not seeking here, you won't seek there. When you go to church and you have to fill out your reports, now I'll tell you, folks, I understand you have to go on visitation, but if you are sensitive to the Spirit of God and God says, I want you to speak to that person or this person, if you're sensitive, you will always be looking for opportunities to share your faith with others. It's the plan of God. It says, go. It's the plan of God. And the Bible says, all nations, the Sudan, China, the Philippines, Japan, Thailand, Cambodia, the killing fields, Vietnam, Jakarta, all those areas over there in Asia, wide open for the gospel. Do you know you can put a gospel tract in Japanese mailboxes and not get thrown in jail for it? You give a Japanese person, you know, a gospel tract, and you say, oh, sumisen, ano, oyonde kudasai, please read this gospel tract. You know, they'll sit there and they'll read it. Many times if we go to New York or Chicago, we'll give out a gospel tract, they'll throw it on the ground. I'm not saying that's all the cases, folks, but I'm telling you, they'll listen, they'll read, they're seeking, and we need more goers. I'll tell you, when I was on deputation, I did some research. And there were 7,500 Baptist churches in North Carolina 5 years ago. 180,000 in America. I believe in church plan. I believe we need a good, strong front of independent Baptist churches here in America. But we need missionaries. We need missionaries. The Bible says in John 15:16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. Are you bearing fruit in your life? God wants us to bear fruit. God wants us to reproduce ourselves in someone's life. There are probably people right now that you're praying for that you want to see saved. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In John 20, verse 21, the Bible says, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Secondly, the second word there is go. The first word is go. The second word is ye. And this is the people of God. God's plan requires people. I want to say you're important here at Ambassador Baptist College. As you go out on Sundays and Wednesdays and you serve in your local church, you are important. Don't think that you're not important here. Every single born-again Bible believer is important in God's eyes. And God wants to use you. If you think you've arrived and they need you to be in that church, there's a problem with that attitude. But if you realize that you're a servant and you just want to serve in that local church, God can use you. Mark 13:10, the Bible says, and the gospel must be first published among all nations. Psalm 96:3, declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all people. Are you seeing something? All nations, all people, all nations. God, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, died for all. Amen? He died for all. And if you get around some of these guys out there, they're saying that Christ only died for a certain group, you need to get away from them. Christ died for all. And Then it says, go ye and then into all the world. And this is the place where God wants you. There are 6.4 billion souls in the world. Question for you math geniuses out there. How many million are in a billion? How many? 1,000. Oh, thank you. Okay. So there's 1,000 million in a billion. Now, there are over 408 cities in the world with over 1 million people in it. Tokyo, 40 million. You think about that. There's a missionary right now that I just heard, a national, and his wife that are going to Tokyo. I'm going to pick them up on for support as soon as we get back to Okinawa. I'm going to bring them before the church. That city needs the gospel. A good independent Baptist missionary that's going to Tokyo. So there's 6.4 billion souls in the world. John 3:17, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved. And what are we supposed to do when we get there? That's the proclamation of God. We're supposed to preach. Preach the gospel. The gospel is only good news if it's given out. The gospel cannot be given to the wrong address. The gospel has power. We must share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you a faithful witness this morning here at Ambassador Baptist College? I was sharing with some of the men yesterday. I was saying that our wives preach messages without even them saying anything. All the married men are saying amen. Now, there's a way that my wife can look at me if I did something wrong or said something wrong. She won't have to say anything to me, but I'm convicted. Brother Moore back there, he's saying amen. He's smiling back there. Sometimes we, you know, our wives can preach messages really at home without them even saying something when we do something wrong. We just need to be sensitive. Sensitive to that. You know, Daniel Webster said, when a man preaches to a man, he said, I want to make it a personal matter, a personal matter, a personal matter. Are you a personal Christian? Are you approachable? We ought to be approachable. We ought, when we're working, people ought to see that we are different, that we have something in our lives, that we have good Christian character, and they say, you know, what's different about you? Where do you... What's all this Christian stuff about? And they open it up and then you share the Lord Jesus Christ with them. We ought to be very personal as Christians. Now, I talked about before, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And this is the power of God. We talked about the word dunamis. As far as dynamite, it has power. The idea of that word is strength, power, ability, inherent power, power residing in a thing by virtue of its nature. Is God omnipotent? He's all powerful. He is all powerful. He is omniscient, Brother Johnson. He can do anything. He knows everything. When visiting Niagara Falls, a man inquired of a bystander. He said, what's that down there? And he says, that's the powerhouse. And he says, from this house, the wires go to all the houses and they give them the needed electricity. And they says, where does the power come from? And he says, well, Lake Erie is about 169 feet below Lake Ontario. And the fall of the water provides the power. But if they were at the same level, there would be no power. And folks, we are not at the same level of God. But when the power of God falls from heaven, then we can truly be used of God, and God can do great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Romans 1:16, we talked about the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Then it talks about to every creature, Brother Dalton, and to every creature, and that is the purpose of God. Now I want to say this in closing. We're going to finish up just a few minutes early this morning. But I want to say this, that cities of this world need the gospel. It was a real blessing to my wife and I to hear that Andrea Godby came to Ambassador Baptist College. And then her brother, Kenny, and now Wesley, where's Wesley? You in here, Wes? Hopefully. All right, Wesley, there you are. And we were in their home about 4 or 5 years ago. And then Andrea, she came here and she served the Lord and she learned. And now she's getting married on October 26th. She's excited about that. We got a wedding invitation, but we'll be in Japan. And her husband is, I believe he's a church planner to inner cities. Is that correct? He wants to go to inner cities. And that's exciting. the cities of the United States of America need the gospel. You know, in Acts chapter 8, verse 5, the Bible says, "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them." The cities of the world this morning, folks, need the gospel. Why are we so afraid to go into the cities? I remember Matt Recker wrote a book, "The City Crieth Out," I believe it is, Brother Spencer. Is that what it was? Or "Behold the City" or something. He wrote a book years back, and I read it, about the importance of just reaching our cities here in the United States of America. Think of Chicago and New York and Miami, Los Angeles, you know, the real big, big cities of the United States and the world need the gospel. But secondly, Acts 9, verse 20, the Bible says, "And straightway Paul preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God." Jewish people need the gospel. And number three, the Bible says in John 1:29, "The next day John seeth Jesus cometh unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." The world needs the gospel. "For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." John 12:47, "And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world." Now listen, folks. Jesus said, "I came not to judge the world, but to save the world." The world! Jesus came to save the world! Do you know, for 13 years of my life when I served in the United States Marine Corps, you mean Marines here? There you go. I like it. I love it, man. And you know, as I go, I was in Pennsylvania, I got this Eagle, Globe, and Anchor, you know, in the United States Marine Corps, and this one Navy guy, he said, after the service, he brings me a bag. And he said, "Brother, look inside this bag. It says United States Navy." And inside this bag was a Navy keychain, a Navy deck of cards, a Navy pin, a Navy hat with Iwo Jima on it, you know, the raising of the flag, and it has some, I don't know, some boat name underneath it. And I said, "Brother," and he said something like this, "Brother Starin, don't you ever forget that the United States Marine Corps is a department of the Navy." I said, "Yeah, the men's department." Amen. Don't you ever forget that. We are just joking. But you know, folks, it's neat. You know, as you go out, I always, as we go to our churches, we say, I always thank our veterans for serving. If our veterans didn't serve in World War I and World War II, we wouldn't be sitting here this morning. We wouldn't have the freedoms that we have. And we need to pray for our military and our leaders. So the world needs the gospel. So this morning, I just have a few questions in closing. I believe most people here have trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I mean, you're in Bible college. You know, that's what opening revival is for. But if you're here and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, I would encourage you to trust Him. Not trust in a religion, not trust in mom and dad, not trust in a church or baptism. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. My second question this morning is, are you serving where you are? Are you serving in your local church? Not just going to church and say, "Pastor, feed me, feed me, feed me." You're actually serving in a ministry that you believe it's God's will and your motive is right. If you can get in that ministry and serve with all your heart, I'll tell you, God can do great things through you. Now, thirdly is, are we sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit of God? I read Dr. Childs' wife's poem, "Into Thy Hands," many different places. And I'll never forget, that's a man that I love. He's like my father. Mentor, many of you are. Many times, like we say, we would live our lives like this. You know, I'm going to plant a church in Minnesota, or I'm going to plant a church in New York, or I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, without allowing God to tell us what we're going to do. And God wants us to live like this. Came to Ambassador Baptist College, and I said I would never live in a mobile home. I lived in Ambassadorville 4 years of my life. Second thing I said was I would never go back to Japan when we left, when I served there for 7 years out of 13 years in the Marines. And the last semester at the college, everything started pointing back to Japan. Everything. We were receiving letters from a lady, there was a young lady, her name was Nane. She came here and she got saved. You remember that? She came and she trusted Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior, and a letter from Japan, and everything started going Japan, Japan, Japan. And if I wanted to say no to God, I figured it out. I said, you know, Lord, I got it. I'm going to work with the United States military. That's what you want me to do. You know, I was in the Marines for 13 years. It all makes sense to me. God closed those doors. And He said, I want you to work with the Japanese. And I said, but Lord, you know, I'm 37 years old. The Japanese language. I remember Brother Fraser was here and I met him right up here. I was 36 or 37 years old. And he said, brother, if you don't have Japanese by the time you're 35, you'll never get it. I said, brother, thank you for your encouragement. But the Bible says that all things are possible with God. And I stand before you and I'm studying Japanese, and the Japanese language is a very difficult language, but I have about a third grade education level. So I'm about third grade in Japanese. I'm working my way up. And but we love the people there in Okinawa. God's doing a great thing in Japan. And if God would reach into this school and say, Asia, you should say, here, my Lord, send me. I'll tell you, folks, Asia is wide open. The gospel, I'll tell you, that in China, the underground church and other parts of Asia and Myanmar as well, right now, unbelievable things happening in the Philippines, in China. And I want you to pray. I gave Brother Beal 45 of our new prayer cards for the staff members of the church, or of the college. There's a second time I called it church. And so you all pray for our ministry. If you're a pastor here that supports us and you want prayer cards, we can give you additional amounts afterwards. We'll be leaving this morning, going to Greenwood, South Carolina, and then to Brad Blanton's church there in Hampton, Georgia, for a missions conference. We encourage you to pray for us as we travel. We have about a month left. But getting back to what I said in the message is, maybe God wants you to be a missionary and you haven't surrendered to the Lord. If you have a burden to go to the mission field, would you please surrender and say, God, I give you everything. I will go. So I want to encourage you to continue to serve the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Secondly, I want you to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. And lastly, I want you to continue to seek the lost. Because you know what? Jesus Christ could come back this morning. And if He comes back, our work is done on this earth. And we ought to be faithfully working. Okay, let's pray.